16, and I want to read actually verses 1 through 16. And the title of this morning's message, I want to be Jesus the Comforter. Jesus the Comforter. You know, oftentimes we think about the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, but Jesus refers to Himself as a Comforter also by saying in those latter verses that we'll read, there will come another Comforter. So He's calling Himself a Comforter as well. Jesus comforts. Jesus comforts. And we're going to see Him doing that in this passage. He is comforting the hearts of His disciples. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Lord willing, I hope next week to get back to our series of preaching through Ephesians. We've been away from it for a while. I'm kind of excited to get back to that. So Lord willing, we'll begin that next week for those that are wondering. But for this week, we really felt impressed to deal with this morning. And I think and hope and pray that it will be a blessing. Let's read John 14, and I want to read from verses 1 down to verse 16. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. He's saying, I'm going away, but you know how to get there. So Thomas said to Him, Lord, we know not where You go, and how can we know the way? We don't know where You're going. And if we don't know where You're going, how do we know how to get there? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. If you had known Me, you should have known My Father also, and from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that has seen Me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwells in Me. I like that. Jesus said the Father dwells in Him. Then He says, He does the works. Believe in Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And there He goes on to talk about the Comforter in those passages we're familiar with. But we're not going to focus on those. We're going to look more at the discourse to what Jesus says up to that point. So, title for this morning's message is Jesus the Comforter. Let's pray. Father, we ask for Your help today. God, help us as we open up the Word of God. And Lord, because You use the Scriptures for comfort. We're taught in the Word of God that we, through the Scriptures, Lord, we receive comfort. And Lord, I pray that You would help me, Lord, today to comfort the hearts of Your people by showing them, Lord, that You are a comforter to Your people. You are called the God of all comfort. Jesus here is seen as a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. You speak words of comfort. And so, Lord, You help Your people in troubling times and trials. And Lord, as You knew and seen what was about to take place, and You sought to comfort the hearts of Your people at this time. And Lord, it's comfort for us as well. May we learn and glean some things from this and what You said to Your people to comfort them in the days that they were about to face. And so help us, Lord, and help me, remove me from the message, and may You receive honor and glory, and may Your people be encouraged. In Jesus' name, and amen. Christ, He is the Good Shepherd, and He cares for His sheep. And he knows, of course, because he knows all things about all men, he knows that they are troubled. And as he looks upon them, he knows their hearts, and no doubt their faces are even beginning to reveal their trouble that they are experiencing. He says here, "Let not your heart be troubled." The word for heart here speaks of our thoughts and feelings. And the word for troubled is the same word that we may use sometime when we say that the waters are troubled. And so that their thoughts and feelings here are unsettled. They're not at peace. But rather, their thoughts and feelings are moving and rolling over and over. I mean, the troubled waters. So within our hearts and minds, the picture there that we have is as a raging sea that is troubled. That's what's going on within. And we've experienced that, haven't we? We've experienced that in times of trouble. We feel like that within. So their hearts were troubled for many reasons, but for the main reason is because Christ has been telling them some troubling things. He's been telling them some things that would stir them up and some things that would unsettle their waters in their mind. And I think that things are beginning to sink in because he is about ready to go to the cross. He's been telling them some things about his death and his denial and his departure. And it seems like some things are beginning to settle in. Jesus is acting like he's getting ready to leave. And so they see this and it troubles them. It must be settling in their hearts that Jesus was going to be leaving them soon. And they were bothered by the words and the things he's been saying, his demeanor and the way he's acting. He's acting like he's leaving us. And so they're bothered by that. And oftentimes we may have troubled hearts for various reasons, but their heart was particularly troubled because of what Christ has been saying would happen. So Christ, the Good Shepherd, seeks to comfort the hearts of his disciples. That's what he's doing right here. He's giving this discourse, but yes, I am leaving, but then he assures them towards the end, but I'm going to send another comforter. But he's comforting them right now. I'm comforting you now while I'm here with you. I'm going to be gone, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit to comfort you after I leave. Now, I want to look at this, if you would, some things that Jesus spoke to them about in order to comfort them at this time. First of all, he talked about having faith in himself, faith in him. In verse 1, he tells them to believe in him. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. You know, their faith was about to get shaken. About to get shaken a whole lot. And I find it interesting, he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Why would he say that? Listen, they're about ready to see something that's going to throw them for a loop. And if you think ahead just a little bit, and Jesus is preparing them, he's telling them things that they need to hear today, because tomorrow things are really going to start happening. And they're going to see some things that really shake their faith. But Jesus here seeks to encourage them to trust in him. And there's at least two things that Jesus talks to them about here in order to boost or encourage their faith, their confidence in him, so that they would be comforted. Now, one here, he reminds them of his relationship with the Father. Now, this was a source of comfort for them and would even be more comfort to them when he assures them of this right now because of what they're going to see later. In order to comfort them, he wanted them to be reminded of who he was and who he was from and of his relationship with the Father, and that they were one. They were about to see Christ suffer like no other man would ever suffer since. And during that time of suffering, what is Jesus going to cry out that they're going to hear, that some of them are going to hear? My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, can you understand why Jesus said some of the things in this discourse to them? He was preparing them for what they were going to hear. You know, that's very interesting, because you know what? God does this in our life constantly. Now, we don't always pick up on it. We don't always see it. But God is, in small ways, giving us pieces of His Word here and there for what is going to come to pass. And how many times can we maybe come to troubling times and we think back before the troubling times and we think about what maybe the preacher had said the week before? Wow, this was taught the week before, or I read this in the Bible right before this happened. It's like God knew this was going to happen and He was preparing me for it. Well, of course He did. And that's what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is the Comforter. He's the omniscient, all-knowing, all-controlling One. And He is showing that this is not, in essence, out of His hands. He's comforting them. Me, or I, and the Father are one. Now, they needed fresh assurance that Jesus was sent of the Father, especially with what they were going to hear. Now, there was still some confusion in this discourse, of course, between Jesus and Philip, particularly as we see it there in verse 9. Philip, we see, he just isn't getting it. But we don't want to be too hard on Philip, do we? I mean, sometimes we just don't get it, even when Jesus says it right directly to us. But their hearts would be comforted because of these reassuring words that Jesus speaks here, that Him and the Father were together. They were together in all of this. And the works that they would see, He's saying, the works I do are the works of the Father. The Father dwells in me, and I'm in the Father. Listen, there's some reasons here. Now, this isn't just to teach us the doctrine of the Trinity. They needed to see that Jesus and the Father were one because of what they were about to hear was going to greatly disturb them. Jesus in the past had talked about His relationship with the Father. They'd seen Him pray to the Father. He had taught them to pray to the Father, our Father which is in heaven. He talked about the Father, and the Father had sent Him. But now, they're going to hear Him cry out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? You don't think that would bother them? You bet it would for a little bit of time. But only for a little while, because something spectacular happens after that, which we'll get to in a little bit. Now, as I meditated upon this, we know that this would comfort their hearts as Jesus has this discourse with Philip, and He says what He does in verse 10. He says, I speak unto you not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He does the work. So He's saying, I'm doing the work of the Father. The work of the Father has been accomplished in Me. This would comfort them in what they were about to see. They needed to know that what was going to take place was according to the Word and plan of Almighty God. They needed to know that. They needed to see the togetherness, the unity of the Father and the Son in those troubling times that they were about to face. You know, as I think about this in relationship to children, you know, one of the greatest things a child needs to see in order to comfort them is the relationship, the unity between their mom and their dad. I mean, praise the Lord for parents that give their children a stable home that doesn't have to be troubled over whether or not mom and dad are one. And you know, that's great when kids are going through troubling times, but they can look at mom and dad and say, mom and dad are still together. They love each other. They're connected. And you know what? Jesus, in a sense, is doing the same thing here. He's assuring them, hey, you're about to go through some terrible things, but Me and the Father, we are one. He did not also, something needs to be pointed out as He seeks to assure them of this. He wanted their faith in God to be the same in regard to their faith in Him. And so there is this as well. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Not a faith in God and a faith in Jesus. Jesus is God. We're not going to get into that this morning. So He was not telling them, you did believe in God and now I want you to believe in Me. He's assuring them that believing in Him was believing in God. And they needed to make that continued connection. Now the second main thing He talks to them about in order to comfort them and encourage their faith in Him was that what would happen later would prove that the relationship between him and the Father was okay. He's preparing them not just for the cross that they would see, but he's preparing them for what they would see after the cross and what that would mean regarding his ascension to the Father. If you think about it, this whole passage, when you read it, has the underlining theme of when Christ would ascend eventually into heaven to be with the Father. In verse 2, he says this, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." What's he preparing them for? He's preparing them for when later they're going to see Jesus ascend into heaven. And they're going to have to be asking the question, where did he go? Oh, the words are going to come back, aren't they? And isn't that great when we see things take place in our life and the words that we read in the past come back to us? Oh, yes. See, God works through this Word. Jesus works through His Word. And this would comfort them a great deal. He tells them about how they were to then get to where Jesus was going. I'm going to my Father, and the way you know. And so then he gives them comfort, assures them in verse 12 that he's going to the Father and that they could go to the Father. As these disciples were about to see Christ crucified, then they're going to see him raised again. But to physically show them that Jesus is received of the Father, they were going to see with their very own eyes Him ascend into heaven. The ascension of Christ was important. I don't believe they've seen Him literally go sit down right in the Father, but they've seen Him go up into the sky. And we'll read that in just a moment. Now turn to Acts chapter 2, if you would, while I'm talking here. The ascension of Christ was important because it did show that the Father had accepted Jesus. Okay, so Jesus died, He rose again. Now what, right? Well, they see Him go up. And Peter refers to the significance of the ascension of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost when he's preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, he's preaching the gospel here. We don't have time to read the whole account, but Peter's preaching here. And he says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." He said, we have seen Jesus resurrected. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He hath shed forth this which you now see and hear." Now, that's significant. We'll look at that in just a moment. The sign of the Holy Spirit that they were seeing was in accordance to the promise of Christ that after He went to the Father, He would send another Comforter. And so the fact that the Holy Spirit showed up in power on the day of Pentecost was just giving testimony of what happened after Jesus went up into the sky when they could see Him no more. Well, we've seen Him ascend up, but where did He go? The coming of the Holy Spirit gave testimony that He sent the Holy Spirit, and that He had ascended to the Father. Now, they've physically seen Christ, but the fulfilling promise of the Holy Spirit was saying He was sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit coming in power was down payment, if you would, of the promise of what? Of that Jesus would come again one day and receive them unto Himself. And that's what He's teaching them in John 14. When you look back at that, you see, the very presence of the Holy Spirit with us today is giving us assurance that Jesus is in heaven. And for now, He's given us the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that it's a promise, and He's coming back for us. And see, that would comfort them. Jesus is gone, but now He has sent His Holy Spirit. Why? To tell us, one of the reasons to comfort us, in that He's coming back. So that's another reason in John 14 why Jesus goes on to talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit in the manner that He would come. So in order to comfort and increase their faith in Him, He points them to the time that He would ascend into heaven. And this would later affect their faith and joy in Christ in a great way. Even after Christ rose again from the grave, they were still troubled. Do you remember that? They didn't know what to do with it for a while. And we looked at these verses, I think, a couple weeks ago. There was a whole lot of confusion and even disbelief about what was going on. In the book of Luke in chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, notice here, there's some things that were going on. We don't have time to look at all these accounts, but in Luke 24, Jesus is here talking to two of His disciples, walking on the road to Emmaus, and we read this a couple weeks ago, they were slow of heart. Jesus says, "You're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You know, when the women came and told the apostles about the resurrection of Jesus, the Word of God says that the words they spoke to the apostles seemed as idle tales, and they believed them not. They were still troubled, weren't they? When Jesus appeared to the apostles, they were terrified and thought they had seen a spirit. So He then shows up in person, showed them His hands and His feet. And in Luke 24 and verse 40, when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet, and while they yet believed not for joy. I mean, it's beginning to sink in, okay? But the joy of the resurrection, it just hadn't hit them yet. And wondered, He said to them, "Have you here any meat?" Now, I'm pointing these things out so far as their emotions and what they're going through and their lack of faith to show how later, when they see Him ascend into heaven, they got excited. Why? Just because Jesus can defy gravity? They've seen that before. I mean, that was exciting. I'm sure it was exciting to see Him do that. But they'd seen that before. They'd seen Him walk on water. But boy, it's more than, Jesus went up. No, let me tell you what. They were reminded of where He was going. And they were seeing Him. They knew where He was going. He was going to the Father. Now they get excited. In Luke 24, 49. "And behold, I send the promise." Huh? What's that? That's the Holy Spirit. "And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as the Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." Remember earlier we just read, what, back there in verse 41, "while they yet believed not for joy." Now Jesus is ascending to heaven and they're like, "Yes, Jesus has ascended to heaven. What does this mean? Where is He going? Oh, He just told us He's going to the Father. He's told us He's going to send the promise of the Spirit. And He's told us what that means, that He's coming back for us to receive us into Himself. And while He's gone, He's building in His Father's house as many mansions, and He's going to prepare a place for us." Remember what He said? I mean, don't you think that John 14 is sinking in when they see Him shoot up? It has to be. It has to be coming to them. I can stop right there. That's just good enough right there. Isn't that great? I love it. The fact that they did as He said at this time, and they go then to Jerusalem to wait for the Spirit to come, said that they believed They believed where he went. And they believed that he would send the Holy Spirit. Now here's comfort for us this morning from Christ for any trouble we may have in our hearts. Your Jesus that went to the cross of Calvary for you rose again, ascended up into the Father. He has sent His Spirit into your hearts that you can call Him Father. And you can believe in Him. Know that He has accepted the Father. And because He has accepted the Father and you are in Christ, you are accepted the Father. And one day, Jesus Christ is coming back for you. And let me tell you what, if there was joy when Jesus went up, let me tell you about the joy when Jesus comes down to take us up. That's going to be something. They got to watch Jesus go up. Let me tell you what, He's coming back and we're going to get to watch Jesus go up and we're going to go with Him. I mean, I think there's going to be some joy in that. Now here's something else that Jesus comforted them with. That now, because of all this and what Jesus is doing, they can now come to the Father themselves. He wanted them to know this. So in order to comfort them, Jesus tells them of His ascension into heaven, a.k.a., if you would, His acceptance to the Father. But now He also tells them about them being able to come to the Father through Him. Okay, so Jesus did this. Jesus resurrected. Jesus went to the Father. That's great. Wonderful. What about us? I mean, I'm glad Jesus is able to go to the Father, but what's that mean to me? Well, that's part of what Jesus is teaching them here in John 14, 4 through 6. He says, when He's telling them, I go, you know how to get there. I am the way. That's how you get to the Father, by me. They seen Christ go to the Father. And because He was there, they could go there too. If we leave this earth before Jesus Christ does come back to receive us into Himself, we will go into the presence of the Father. Because to be with Jesus, that's where He's at. Now the presence of the Holy Spirit within us today is proof that not only Jesus ascended and sent the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is accepted, but also that we are His, that we belong to Him, and we shall be with Him someday. Ephesians teaches us that the promise of the Holy Spirit, it's an earnest of our salvation, that we shall one day fully receive the full inheritance of all that we have in Christ. In John 14 and verse 16 through 20, there He talks about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, coming. And He says in verse 18, we already read 16, but let's read verse 18. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while. And the world sees me no more. What's His ascension, right? But you see me because I live. Because I live. Because I live, you disciples, you shall live also. When you see me alive, you're going to know that you have life. And that day, you shall know that I am in my Father. What day? Let me tell you what, when He ascended, and then He would send the Holy Spirit. You shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You see the relationship between me and my Father. We are one. We are together. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. You are going to be one with us. So the presence of the Holy Spirit says we are one with Christ and the Father. Every time we face a troubling time in this life, and God's Spirit manifests Himself within you by speaking the words of comfort to assure you that you are a child of God, He's reminding you that because Christ was accepted, you are accepted. And where Christ is at, that's where you're going. The presence of the Holy Spirit assures our hearts that we have a home going one day to be with Christ. It's not only were they able to have their heart comforted, because they would be able to know they were accepting the God through faith in Christ. But lastly, Christ comforted their hearts by reminding them that because He was ascending into the Father, that right now, presently, while they were still here on this earth, they would have an advocate with the Father. And that's what He talks now about His becoming the high priest. And that was to comfort them. That's why He goes on to talk about prayer after that. To comfort them. Hey, I'm leaving, but I'm going to the Father. And you need to know I'm at the right hand of the Father. I'm an advocate. You can pray in My name. Listen, when we pray in the name of Christ, we are saying, listen, we need to know, understand what we're really saying when we pray in the name. Now, people pray in the name of Jesus, and they don't have a clue what they're doing. But here's what we need to be thinking about when we pray in the name of Jesus. We are saying that we believe that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. That He ascended on high and sat down to be our intercessor. That we believe He was accepted of the Father and that we can come to the Father by Him. Listen, not only is His literal presence someday in the future going to affect us, but it affects us now in that when we pray, we can pray to the Father through Christ. We're not only accepted to the Father to go to the Father one day when we die, but we can come to the Father now. And He's teaching them that. Listen, you're going to be stuck here on this earth. You're going to go through some things, but I'm going to give you My Holy Spirit. He's going to be your comforter. You can pray in My name and talk to the Father. All three references there of the Trinity, if you would. You have the Holy Comforter. You can pray in My name, Jesus, and you can talk to the Father. John 14:6, we often quote this, you know, in reference to being saved. And you know what? It's a great verse on being saved. But when you really truly look at it in its context, He wasn't telling lost people how to be saved. But lost people need to be saved through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The context is He's talking to His disciples to comfort them in how two main things, that they could go to heaven because He was in heaven, and they could go to heaven through Him, and two, they could pray in the name of Jesus. He was the way of prayer. You can't talk to God the Father through anybody else, through anything else, only through the person of Jesus Christ, and that is it. Jesus is saying to us, when I'm gone, believe in Me. Believe I'm in the Father and the Father in Me. Believe I'm with the Father. Because you believe in Me, pray in My name. Come to the Father by Me. There is no other way. Jesus is not only the only way. He is the very able way. And we can come to the Father by Him as He is our high priest. We can come boldly. How does Jesus comfort His disciples here and encourages them? He encourages faith in who Christ is, what Christ has done, where Christ is at, what Christ is doing at this present moment for us at the Father's right hand, and faith that someday Christ is coming again to receive us literally into glory with Him in the presence of the Father. And until we get there, we can pray in the name above all names and know that heaven hears our prayers and our Father does care. There is really no real comfort for people apart from Jesus Christ. I have no comfort to offer anyone apart from Christ. He is the only way, truth, and life of comfort. But let me tell you what, in Christ, there is more comfort than you could ever, ever imagine. If you're here and lost this morning, you need Jesus. When we live by faith, in our acceptance to God through God the Father, through Christ our Lord, it can give calm in our soul and peace in some of the most troubled times. Let me tell you what, when they seen Jesus die on that cross, I can't imagine what all they were experiencing. But God was able to comfort them through that, through His promise and through His word. And you know what? He comforts us still the same today. And praise God for that. Jesus is our comforter. He still comforts us today through His Word and through His Spirit that He sent into our hearts, whereby that now we can say, Abba, Father, or Dear Daddy. I mean, just we have an intimate relationship with the Father because of the Holy Spirit in us. And it tells us we are children of the Most High God. We are accepted through Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, use Your Word to glorify Your holy name. And I pray for Your precious saints here today that their hearts have received a measure of comfort from the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. Father, we love You today, and I'm so thankful for the many times in which You have comforted us in times of sorrow and trials. And Father, I pray that You would give a great deal of comfort to Your people today. And I pray specifically for the Wants family, the passing of Bobby, and I pray, Lord, that You would be ever so near to them. Nothing gives us any more comfort than to know the presence of Jesus Christ. And You have assured us of Your presence through the person of the Holy Spirit. And we thank You for that today. Comfort each one today. Receive glory unto Yourself. And I pray that the lost that are present in this service and that may be present later today in the memorial, Father, that they would see Christ as the only way, truth, and life. Work in our midst today and save the lost that are present with us as only You can. Reveal Yourself to them. May they see Jesus truly as the only way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.